Welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And of course, I am here with Brian Sant, RNJGHS tech guru and producer of our little show, The Deadline. How
Very
are
little.
You? Yeah, well, we do our best. You know, come on. It's not that little.
Have we grown at all?
Actually, the votes have pretty much sucked. However, this show uploads on the 4th of July, which is already the 4th of the month, people, which means we've probably lost voting ground significantly. But in case we haven't, go to podcastalley.com. In fact, the link for Podcast Alley is on our homepage, njghs.net. It is also on the Deadline page. And if you click that link, you don't even have to worry about getting to Podcast Alley and searching for our show. This will take you right to our show, right where you can vote for our show, right?
I already told you about that, so.
What?
It's summer.
Well, all the more reason. People can go on vacation. They go into a hotel. It's a totally different ISP. They can vote for the show. You know, every hotel now has those little computer rooms set up with internet.
Well, I'm sure when you're out in California, you're going to be getting back to the hotel and you're going to be hitting the computer right away.
Yep. You know me. I go into withdrawals. I have to have my email. If I can't get to it on a computer, I'll start looking at it on my phone. I mean,
BlackBerry.
I know. If I had that, it would be a CrackBerry. I mean, I would just never stop. So. But, yeah, I don't know if I'll bring my computer, my laptop with me. I don't know if I want to travel that all the way out to California. Or if, you know, I'm sure the Wyndham, we're staying in a Wyndham, it would be pretty, they must have some
little
computer room.
Well, they do, but you're also fighting with all the other guests, too, to use it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll just bring my laptop.
Because you know what? You can...
Because then I can clean off the card to take more pictures, too. I can load them right into the computer.
There's that, too, but on the flight over... Most of the planes now have some place you can plug a laptop into. You don't just have to run off battery, so you could also bring some movies for the kids if there's something they don't like what's playing.
No, they're going to watch what's playing. That's too bad. I'm not taking my computer out on a plane and going through all that malarkey. That's too much.
What? Yeah.
The little screens fall down from the ceiling. I have all the Continental earphone thingies.
Sometimes they have really crappy movies, though.
That's all right.
What I do with mine.
It's going to be Trent's first flight. He's never been on a plane before. So I think he's going to be more fascinated with staring out the window for takeoff and landing.
You're born in the wrong time, kid.
Why?
Back when I was his age and I flew, you know, you could go up to the cockpit, you know, get a tour of that. You could actually sit down in there. Nowadays,
really?
Nope.
Oh, well, not all the terrorist stuff, no way. But... I mean, well, you kind of see the cockpit a little bit when you're boarding the plane if they have the door open and the pilot's standing there.
Not that type of flight. You're probably not going to see it.
Did I ever tell you what happened to my mom? This was hysterical. She was flying to Rome on one of her many trips to Rome. And
do I sense jealousy?
Oh, no. I still want to get to Rome. She's been there like 6 or 7 times. I've never been there once. But anyway, she was kind of towards the front of the plane because something happened, and she ended up getting bumped up. So she was in the front, you know. And when they landed and everything, and it was taxiing over, the pilot comes walking back, and he had this book, Learn How to Fly. And he goes, it's a good thing I had this. And he showed it to my mother, and she's like, oh, that's terrible. It's probably his favorite joke. He probably does it for every flight, you know.
Well, that's okay. I read an article today over in India that, how many do they say? Every year there are 50 pilots that they refuse to let fly because they've been drinking before a flight.
Oh my goodness, that he goes
50
there?
A year. That's like one a week.
Wow. Wow. Hare Krishna, how is that possible? Well, I guess we're not going to be getting on Air India anytime soon. Anywho, so the show does upload on the 4th of July. Happy birthday to our nation. And don't forget to vote on Podcast Alley for our show, because like I said, so far
June... I don't think people are going to be voting on the 4th.
Well, not on the 4th. I would prefer they vote on the 1st, midnight, 12:01 a.m. on July 1st. Vote for the show.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be doing that at 12:01 on July 1st.
More than likely. You know me. I'm up. You know, I only sleep 4 hours a night, so it's not like...
Effing vampire.
6 hours is a marathon. I feel like, woo, I can do a decathlon, baby. But, you know. So, anyway, speaking of my sarcastic nature, I just found an amazing article which confirms how I am actually in a part of the evolution, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. There was an article that appeared a couple weeks ago called Sarcasm Seen as Evolutionary Survival Skill. Now, get this. This I found fascinating. Because Ex-Nightmare number 2 heavily chastised me and critiqued me for my incessant sarcasm. Oh, well. Hence the X. But let's see here. Now, this is some highfalutin, you know, shrink chick. Dr. Rankin, Dr. Catherine Rankin, a neurophysiologist at the University of California, San Francisco. Oh, God. Blah, 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 blah. She's got all her credentials. Humans are fundamentally social animals. Our social nature means that we interact with each other in positive, friendly ways. And it also means we know how to manipulate others in a very negative way. So, she has recently discovered that sarcasm, which is both positively funny and negatively nasty, plays an important part in our evolution, apparently. She said, if you didn't get the all right, blah, blah, blah. She goes on talking about it and stuff, but I found this interesting. Where's the part about the human brain? Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah.
Well, I see somebody prepared.
I know, I just lost it. I had my eyes right on it, but anyway.
Those old eyes.
Evolutionary biologists claim that sociality is what has made humans such a successful species. We're successful. That's questionable. We are masters at what anthropologists and others call social intelligence. We recognize and keep track of hundreds of relationships, and we easily distinguish between enemies and friends. Now, I beg to differ. There's been relationships and that I've forgotten about. Haven't you forgotten? Hasn't someone ever come up to you and said, well, what about when you were dating so-and-so? And you're like, who? Oh, yeah. Like, you've forgotten relationships here and there, right?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think we chronologize everything in our brains, but, you know.
Well, maybe we do, and we just don't recall
them. It's the recall. Yeah, it's the recall. You're right. Anyway.
Total recall.
Let's see. Sarcasm, then, is a verbal hammer that connects people in both a negative and positive way. We know that sense of humor is important to relationships. If someone doesn't get your jokes, they aren't likely to be your friend, or at least that's my bottom line about friendship. Sarcasm is simply humor's dark side, and it would be just as disconcerting if a friend didn't get your snide remarks. Now, case in point.
The dark side.
Case in point. Here's Brian. What? He already got one in on me about my old eyes.
About? I don't remember that.
Yeah. So, and we're great friends. I live for his snide remarks. I mean, it's just like, I get up in the morning, I'm like, oh, maybe today's the day that he'll make fun of my age and what an old bag I am. Oh, gosh, I hope so. Sarcasm.
I believe it.
See? I am surviving right now with my sarcasm.
Actually, I think you were surviving with that crumpet.
Oh, stop. Brian brought me butterscotch crumpets. He knows my weakness.
Not just one, a box.
A box of butterscotch crumpets. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm sitting here and we're doing the first show and recording and da-da-da. And finally I was like, that's it, I gotta open the box. They were like, Laura, eat me. And I had to open the box. I only had one. They come in a 2-pack, and I only took one of the twins apart and ate that one. I put the other one back. Thank you, Brian, for the crimpets.
Yeah, but now it's drying out.
No, it's still wrapped in plastic. It'll be okay.
Yeah, okay.
You know. Anyway, so there you go. Either way, sarcasm plays a role in making and breaking alliances and friendships. Right, Brian?
What do you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Sarcasm. I don't use sarcasm.
Oh, not at all. No. Sure, right. Sure. Okay, cemetery hunts this year, people. If you're looking to get out there and get your training and paranormal ghost hunting and yada, 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 look no further. Cemetery hunts will be on Saturday nights this year. Meet and sign the waiver at 9 p.m. and hunt until 10:30 p.m. You must be a member of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society in order to participate in these hunts. Lifetime membership is available for $20 on our homepage via PayPal. You cannot pay for membership at the cemetery, as I pointed out, it has to be done ahead of time, or you can even do it at one of our monthly meetings, which we'll get to later on. New members must complete 2 cemetery hunts in order to participate on a private investigative team. That means where we get a call and we actually put together a team and go into someone's home or place of business. That's, you have to have had 2 cemetery hunts for training in order to be on that team. Newbies, please make yourselves known to the team leaders so they can take you along with them for training. Cancellations of these dates are possible given inclement weather conditions. Please keep an eye on this site, which is the NJGHS.net site, for last-minute updates, or better still, join our Yahoo NJGHS group to have the info blasted into your email inbox. Next up at bat is July 12th at Rose Hill Cemetery in Matawan with Greg and Sherry. July 26th is the Washington Cemetery, where the Change Warder murder victims are buried in Warren County. Washington, Warren County. That's with Dina. And then August 2nd, Princeton Cemetery with Greg and Sherry. August 9th, the Bayview Cemetery in Leonardo, New Jersey with Greg and Sherry. August 16th, Mount Olivet in Red Bank with Greg and Sherry. August 23rd, we still got to figure out where we're going to hold that, so stay tuned. August 30th is the Rose Hill Cemetery in Matawan with Greg and Sherry. And on, September 6th is a to-be-announced, but Dina's going to lead that one. And we'll be right back after this. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive-time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Planet Demon Hunter the show is beyond the normal broadcast.
This is Troy Taylor, founder of the American Ghost Society, and you're listening to the Deadline Podcast in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. I just want to go over our meeting announcements. We do have 2 meetings every month, and they're free and open to the public to attend. They all start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. This is my bad.
You screw up again.
Yeah, I forgot to catch and update the meeting.
Oh, my God.
The Central Jersey Division, July 2nd, will have already passed by the time this show uploads. So whatever the first Wednesday is in August...
Oh, now you're going to make me look
up. the meeting will take place. I told you how many problems I was having when I was writing all this?
August 6th.
All right. August 6th. August 6th, the Central Jersey Division will be having their meeting from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. That's headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. Or how was that?
That should have been the second one.
Picky.
Hey, you do it right the first time.
I know. North Jersey Division is the next one up at bat in chrono order here. On July 15th, that's headed up by team leader Dina Tirico. It's in the community center in Hackettstown, located at 293 Main Street. So make sure you check out these meetings. I know our team leaders are doing a great job keeping all this stuff going. And if you want, you can all get some flyers out to them so you can pick up some flyers and brochures on the para intensive that's taking place in September. So, speaking of para, there's this little ditty we have called Parashare. Now, Parashare is if you've had a paranormal experience or possibly a ghost story or you were on a cemetery hunt or something weird happened, whether you were living in a place, visiting a place, or actually investigating a place. If you've had some type of encounter like that, send it in an email to the deadline at njghs.net because that's considered a Parashare. And for each Parashare you submit and we read on the show, you get a credit. Only one credit, and you get membership, which is a $20 value in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. 10 credits, and you get your very own natal chart, which is a $75 value.
That's like a full tank of gas.
Yeah, for some cars. Yeah. I know. I can't believe the gas. It's like, welcome to the deadline. This is like the most expensive show we're doing. You know, what it costs to drive. I mean, and my car gets like 30, 31 to the gallon. But, oh, my gosh. The one day I had a half a tank, and I pulled in, and I filled it, and it was $39 for a little half a tank of gas.
Yep, and I know. I know the feeling.
I used to be able to fill it when it was on, like, ethers, you know. And I could fill it, and it would be $26, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Bush.
Yeah, really. Don't get me started. And one other thing that I would like to rant about is we don't have any Parashares this week. So while I'm in this little pissy mode, let me piss and moan a little bit more about how we don't have any Parashares.
It's just like any regular week.
Yeah, really. You know, people, you're killing me here because I have to sit there and then come up with more crap to spiel about. I got to listen to him pick on me.
Someone's got to.
And, you know, so all you have to do is I could make it any easier. Even if you've think you've had an experience, you're like, wow, was this a Parashare? Let me send it to Laura at the deadline, njghs.net, and see, because you never know. So,
or your friend had one.
Yeah.
Or your friend.
Don't tell me you sit down and you flip the channels one night and you're like, oh, it's those Ghost Hunter guys, and somebody in the room, if 9 times out of 10, was like, oh, you know what, did I ever tell you about the time? That's a Parashare. Whenever anybody says, did I ever tell you about, that's the Parashare. Send it in an email. Why not get membership in something and pursue this? And if you don't want membership, then send 10 of them and get a nice natal chart, right?
Exactly. Or just send it in just because you want to.
You know, that's good. That's valid. I'll go with that. Yeah.
That's called sarcasm.
Yeah. Survival of the sarcastic. We're going to have to get t-shirts made. Actually, I do have socks that say sarcastic and proud. They're right next to SpongeBob socks.
Oh, okay.
And I have all my ghost socks because, you know what? And that's the funniest thing. Here's a little secret I have. When I'm nervous and because I'm going for an interview, for like a job interview, I always make sure I wear a nice pantsuit. But I have these really nice black socks with the little white, you've seen them, with the white ghosties that have the fluorescent threading around each ghost. And I figure that way, you know, with the shoes that I have on, mm-hmm, and slacks and everything, even when you cross your legs, you don't see enough of the ghosties to know they're ghosts. You just think it's a little kind of pattern on the sock. But it gives me my you know, my grounding, my ability to go in and interview my butt off, because it's like at least I still have my passion somewhere symbolized on my person, and it's in my little ghost socks. So, but I do have the socks that say sarcastic and proud.
Oh, okay. I thought it maybe said something else.
I have socks for every holiday, too, except Easter.
Why don't you have that?
I just never bought Easter socks. I have Valentine's, St. Patrick's Day.
Well, now you know what you got to do.
Christmas, New Year's. I have 4th of July socks. Yeah. Not that you really wear socks around 4th of July, but I do have red, white, and blue striped socks.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So there. See, like, that's sharing, but that's not a Parashare, people. That was just a little intimate discussion about my footwear. Now, I want you to send me a Parashare. That's to the deadline at njghs.net. And since we don't have Parashares this week, now it's time for News of the Weird. A prominent chef once wrote, if you're going to kill the animal, it seems only polite to use the whole thing. And recently, restaurants specializing in such nose-to-tail cuisine have opened in several cities, according to a May report in Toronto's National Post. The hamburger at New York City's Tasting Room includes cow heart, liver, bone marrow, tongue, flat iron, brisket, shank, and clod. New York's Casa Mano features dishes of lamb's tongue, duck hearts, and the red combs on top of the rooster's head. Yum.
Sounds like Fear Factor.
Yeah. Hello. San Francisco's Encanto serves lamb necks, pig trotters, and venison kidneys. Said Encanto's executive chef, "It's about viable cuts of meat that we have thrown into the trash can for years. When it comes to food, we have been very wasteful." Well, you know, with the price of food going to be what it is, you know, I guess we're down to that. Be careful what you order out there. In April, as the police officer approached the motorist relieving himself on the side of the road in South Kitsap, Washington, the man explained that he had consumed a bunch of beers, but was not driving drunk. According to the officer, the man said he was slurring his words because his dentist advised him his mouth was too big for his tongue. I like this. Legislating love. Ecuadorian legislator Maria Soledad Vela proposed in April that the nation's constitution express the public health principle that women have the right to enjoy sex and not be mere breeding machines. Opponents ridiculed Soledad Vela's right to orgasm that might lead to lawsuits against husbands. Go figure. In April, Tommy Taberman, a member of Finland's parliament, submitted a bill to require 1 week's paid vacation a year solely for romance to counteract the country's alarmingly high divorce rate. In April, Mayor Gonzalo Navarrete of the impoverished town of Loprado, Chile, ordered public money for funding up to 4 Viagra tablets a month to men over age 60 to improve quality of life.
Nice. Oh, and you heard who's back together?
Who?
Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
No way.
Yep.
When did that happen?
Just happened.
What do you mean they're back together? Didn't they marry other people?
Well,
I thought she married Kid Rock or something.
Well, they divorced and now they're back together. Ain't love grand.
What, back together like married or just back shacking up?
Like back living together.
Wow. Holy moly. They deserve each other. And I say that with such a great deal. The longtime elected clerk of court in Picasso County, Florida, Jed Pittman, admitted to WTSP-TV in May that he rarely comes to work and, in fact, has researched state law to learn that as long as he shows up once every 43 days, he can't be fired. The law provides for removal by the chief judge only if the clerk is absent for 44 consecutive days. Pittman's salary is about $136,000 a year, but he exploited another loophole in state law to retire in 2004 and then unretire the next day, which brings him an additional $75,000 a year. Besides the $362,000 lump sum he received on the day he retired.
I want that job.
Yeah, very smart man. Finally, deadly brown snake bites man's penis during roadside bathroom break. No lie. In Australia, a roadside toilet stop ended in pain, embarrassment, and almost death for a tourist when a highly venomous snake bit the end of his penis.
Ow.
Totally. And we'll be right back. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
Hey, this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, and certified paranormal investigator with the NJGHS. When I start getting homesick for New Jersey, I tune in to Lauren Bryan. So kick back. You're listening to The Deadline.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last week's Haunted Trivia asked, what was the name of the hotel with the key haunted hotspot room number 309? The answer, the Horton Grand Hotel, located at 311 Island Street in San Diego, California. This week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of kinda, sorta, easy. A little house called the Tuckaway is said to be haunted by its former owners. One of them was a famous palm reader. In fact, celebrities such as Walt Disney, Carole Lombard, Rudy Valley, both Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Sr., and Mary Pickford visited the Tuckaway for their readings. What was the name of the famous palm reader who lived here with her husband? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the book, Charles Fort, The Man Who Invented the Supernatural, by Jim Steinmeier. In this book, Steinmeier goes deeply into the life of Fort as the man who saw himself first and chiefly as a writer, a tireless chronicler of inconvenient facts for which science had no answer. To Fort, such anomalies were the damned. By damned, he wrote, I mean the excluded. We shall have a procession of data that science has excluded. This book retails for $24.95, and it is a hardcover, so be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the book. Good for you. Let me make sure I got to remind everybody, if you've booked for the Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse Investigation Dinner and Investigation for August 16th, the cutoff is coming up fast and furious. July 15th is the last day that you can book your hotel room at the discounted rate. Don't forget to sign up for our Paranormal Intensive 2008, taking place right there in Hackettstown on September 20th. All the details are on the site, and you can register right there. Oh, I got to tell you, speaking of my crap, it's funny you should bring that up. I got this little article that Dina sent me on the Northern Lights may increasingly interfere with GPS. GPS units are not infallible. Stories abound of users blindly following poor GPS directions based on improperly developed maps onto train tracks, off-marked roads, and even into a nasty part of town. Now there's a brand new problem. Interference from the Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis, the natural light show seen near the Earth's poles when high-speed particles from the sun hit the atmosphere. The natural light show distorts the signals from global positioning satellites, which is GPS, that are 12,600 miles overhead. With increasing solar activity expected in the coming years, the bright lights could foul up navigation devices at an increasing rate. The last peak of solar activity came in 2000, which is before portable navigation devices were popular, so users haven't experienced this kind of interference to date. The next peak is expected in 2012 with increasing activity each year until then. According to a report in the American Geophysical Union's International Journal of Space Weather, their summer fun issue is a must-read. Oh, yeah. Tests conducted in Norway during northern light activity showed GPS units were not able to precisely identify the roads the researchers were on. Sometimes the units lost their signal entirely. I've had this happen in Pennsylvania. You know, just merely going up to visit someone who shall remain nameless, and it would just crap out, you know.
Hence the name crap,
yeah. But it did the navigating all the way there until it got right to the place, and then it couldn't navigate within this little gated community. I don't know, maybe they put up, like, some kind of force field. Not only did they have little guard booths that you had to check in to get into this community, they probably had, like, a big solar force field or something blocking and, you know. And they didn't spare any expense. They had no sidewalks, no streetlights. You could not see your hand in front of your face in that place. I was like, what the hell? You know, anyway, I digress. But the global positioning satellites hover in fixed positions 12,600 miles above sea level. For the portable navigation units that people use in their cars, boats, and planes to work, they must be able to receive unimpeded signals from these satellites. When the northern lights are in play, the Earth's ionosphere gets lumpy, rendering the signals inaccurate. Navigation device makers say this won't cause a dangerous situation for drivers as long as they use common sense. Now, what's the deal with common sense? It's not so common. Okay, so mainly, the same common sense that, we hope, will keep you from driving off the road into a river, either. You know, a trip, right? And people have done that, right? They've crashed into stores because they were, like, taking it so literal.
Greg and Sherry's wanted us to turn off the Ben Franklin.
Right, when we were coming back from Eastern State.
Yeah, it's, we're in the middle of Ben Franklin. Turn left.
Yeah. Ben Franklin, for those of you who don't know, it's a bridge. And, yeah, I mean, mine will at least even show you water. Like, when you're going over water, it gives the turns of blue and, you know.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they're always doing new updates.
They had theirs pretty early on in the game, though.
Yeah.
They were forerunners for GPS owners. So avant-garde, Greg and Sherry. Woo. Okay, so I reminded you all to sign up for the workshops. They're $25 per person. That's the Paranormal Intensive taking place on September 20th in Hackettstown, New Jersey. And we also have the Dinner and Spirit Circle with Jane Doherty at the Haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse that night, and that's $60 per person. So I think we've covered everything.
I think so.
Okay. Thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline. And our team leaders, Gregory and Sher... What? No Hail to the King?
Hail to the King.
Slow in the draw there, slick.
Your old age is creeping up on me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, blame it on me. Our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Dina Tirico. And, of course, thanks to you for listening and voting at PodcastAlley.com for our show. Keep downloading the shows weekly because at some point in life you have to meet the deadline.